Hello again. In case I didn't introduce myself the last time I was up here, my name is Ann Birchmeyer. I am the youth director here at First United Methodist. So this week, I was told that I had forgotten that I was supposed to do the congregational prayer. So for those, or be host in general, for those of you who don't know me, that happens more often than I would like to admit. I generally am distracted most of the time. The girls in the office, when I go by, they'll say, squirrel. So I appreciate church for that reason, is it gives me a moment to just stop and not be all over the place all the time. So please stop with me a moment while we pray. Dear embracing God, you are always there for us. You help us to know that in all circumstances, you are there. So often we turn away from you. When things are good, we think we don't need you. When things are busy, we forget to think about you. When things are bad, we think you have abandoned us. We get angry. Forgive us in those moments where we forget your promise through Jesus, your grace for us. Help us remember in times of trial that you are our source of strength. Help us to remember to rely on you, and you will empower us. In those moments, God, when we are questioning or stray from the path to you, we thank you for picking us up, turning us around, restoring us, and making us whole. We know, God, that all good things are gifts from you. We are complete in your boundless love, and we strive to walk loyally in your never-ending grace. So in this moment of silence, we lift up our unspoken prayers and seek your grace for those moments when we forget. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Morning. I don't know if it's a rule, but if we're supposed to introduce ourselves, I'm Liz Hoover, and I just kind of hang around, so I don't... But I'm so happy to be a member of this congregation. There are so many opportunities to do things. We've got this fantastic leadership, these fantastic youth, and three separate service members all got into seats, and I didn't hear any arguments about somebody being in their seat. So I'm so proud of you all. I'm just so happy for us. Anyway, what I'm supposed to do is read the gospel today. Today actually comes from Joshua chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come close, listen to the words of the Lord your God." Then Joshua said, "This is how you will know that the living God is among you and will completely remove the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and Jebusites before you. Look, the covenant chest of the ruler of the entire earth is going to cross over in front of you in the Jordan. Now pick 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one per tribe. The soles of the priests' feet, who are carrying the chest of the Lord, ruler of the whole earth, will come to rest in the water of the Jordan. At that moment, the water of the Jordan will be cut off. The water flowing downstream will stand still in a single heap." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz. I like that you hang out. We're in the middle of a summer sermon series, and we're just having a lot of fun with it. We're taking a look at superheroes, which is really a little bit out of my comfort zone. And as I've said before, any superhero movie that I see, it is an act of love at this point in my life. But I've been watching a few of them and learning it quite a bit. So what we've been talking about are being superheroes of the faith. And over the last few weeks, we've talked about the foundations of superheroes of the faith. We've talked about character, the characteristics, and shaping character, and what our code of conduct will be. And last week, we talked about the power of the superhero team. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to those, you can find them online recorded on our website. So I invite you to go there. This week, we're talking about loyalty, the loyalty of superheroes of the faith. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we all have a good idea about what loyalty is, and I think the topic of loyalty is appropriate for today because we're nearing the end of our big 4th of July celebration, and there's a lot of talk about being loyal to our nation and what's great about our nation. And so we live that, and loyalty is supporting, encouraging, giving allegiance to different things. It might be to preferences in our lives, it might be to interests, or it might even be to, in some way, our origins. So we have loyalty to different things. We have loyalty to brands. Pepsi or Coke? Pepsi? All right, Coke. All right, Coke's hands down the winner. We have loyalty to towns, and to states, and to high schools, and to universities, and to college teams. All right, so Michigan State, Wisconsin. I'm sorry, I saw the contingent back there. So any other universities I've left out, shout them out. Iowa, where?
Illinois.
Purdue, yeah, Bill. All right, Albion. Okay. All right. Oh, oh my gosh, we're flooded with them. Okay, I waited till the end. Central. All right. So we have university loyalties that stretch across the nation. We understand what loyalty is, and of course, we have loyalty to professional teams. Now, I was hesitant to bring this up. Because usually at this point I talk about the Lions, right? But now I want to talk about the Tigers. Yeah. So I know, please raise your hand high if you will remain loyal to the Tigers even mid-season. All righty. Okay. Okay, the rest of us, we're just fair weather fans. We're just waiting. All right. So we have loyalties. We understand what those are. And sometimes they're greater. We have loyalties to political parties. And sometimes we find someone who has a loyalty to another party and we have a discussion. You know, those kinds of discussions we have, hopefully not on Facebook. We have loyalties to our nation. And you know, this nation, the United States of America, is a great, great nation. Now, there are some imperfections, and every single one of us could sit down and tell you how to fix them, because we all have our ideas. But this nation has done great things. It is a model for democracy, even in the midst of times when it has been broken. This nation has raised up models for how to care for humanity. And in the midst of discoveries in science and in economics and in the humanities, we have done amazing things. I'm going to take a quote from Mark Twain, who wrote Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court this. He said, "My kind of loyalty is loyalty to one's country, not to its institutions or its office holders. The country is the real thing. The substantial thing, the eternal thing, it is the thing to watch over and care for and be loyal to." So we have that feeling of pride in our nation. Now, not so much for me last night when the fireworks were still going off at midnight and someone across a lake was playing a bass, so boom, 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 so I'm trying to sleep. But in the midst of all of the celebrations, especially the parades this last week, what a great feeling to be a member of this nation. We also have a loyalty to God. As people of the faith, we claim Jesus Christ as Lord, and our loyalty goes there. It's part of our value system. It's part of who we are. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that kind of loyalty today. So I want to introduce a loyal character, and that is Joshua. You've heard a little bit about Joshua already, and I'm just going to say a few things. So we don't know much about Joshua's origin story, and you'll remember from the comics, I really like the origin stories. We don't know much about him. He just kind of appears in the story of the Exodus, and he's like at Moses' side before they're even very far into the wilderness after their escape from Egypt. Joshua is with Moses, and Moses sends young Joshua into a battle, and he wins. When Moses comes down from Mount Sinai carrying the Ten Commandments, Joshua is there. It's said that when Moses went into the tabernacle, this wandering tent that they built, Joshua was in the tent with him. So Joshua was there along the way. And then, when they finally got to the promised land, Joshua was sent as a representative of his tribe, Ephraim. He was sent into the promised land with 11 other spies from the different tribes to see what the land was going to be like. So they went into the land, and they saw what Canaan was like, and they came back, and the majority said, oh, no. I mean, it's a great land. It's flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants in there. They will take us in a second. And Joshua and another tribe representative, Caleb, said, no. God said we would go. God said that this was our land. We should go. And the rest of Israel voted no. Well, when they did that, they found themselves as desert nomads for the next 40 years wandering. Until once again, they found themselves at the edge of the promised land. They've kind of taken over the eastern side of the Dead Sea. And there they were. And Moses was quite old, and he passed away. But before he died, he pulled Joshua aside, and he asked Joshua to be the leader. What he said to him, and these were the words of the Lord coming through Moses, he said, be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them. And so Joshua gathered the people there on that edge of the Jordan River, and he said, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And he talked to them about the promise of God, that this land before them, no matter what it would hold, whether it was easy or difficult to take it, they were promised this land. And so he said to them, what we're going to do is we're going to send the Ark of the Covenant that held the Ten Commandments, this holy ark, this holy container, we're going to send this into the water, and you will be able to pass through these waters. And so that's what happened. So here they were on the edge of the Dead Sea, and they came across the Jordan River here. The priest brought the Ark of the Covenant into the water, and the moment their foot touched the waters heaped up on one side of the Jordan River, and they walked, and the riverbed was clear, and the people, thousands of people, all walked through to this side. Once they were in the land of Canaan, Joshua asked them to set up these 12 stones so that they would remember what God had done, giving them passage through this water into a new land. What we see with Joshua again and again is his loyalty to God, his faithfulness. Now, there were great problems, and Joshua thought long and hard about how they would inhabit this land. And what he decided they needed to do was, first of all, they just needed to take the hill towns. It was going to be hard to take the valleys. And so they went from hill town to hill town. First at Jericho, then at Ai, and then over here at Jerusalem. They took these towns not by their own strength, but by the power of God. And along the way, Joshua continued to give thanks and to remind the people why they were doing what they were doing. Joshua died at 120 years old. I mean, I guess he lived a nice long life. And in the midst of his dying, I want to share something that he said. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is holy. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself. You have chosen to serve the Lord. Joshua, again and again in his life, was loyal to God, and it brought the people of God to a new place by his loyalty. Now, if we're going to talk about loyalty, there are lots of examples. And I was talking with Pastor Bob, and Pastor Bob really felt this was a compelling example. And some of you may know this story, so I give this to you. There was a man who served, he was a Navy SEAL, and he served in Iraq for 4 tours of duty. He was discharged in 2009, and in 2012, he wrote a book called The American Sniper. His name is Chris Kyle. This is a picture of Chris Kyle, and this is a picture of Bradley Cooper, who played him in the movie. Now, Chris Kyle went out and did a lot of interviews, and people kind of had mixed feelings about him. Some thought, well, what he did was as a loyal American, and he talked about that. In his work, he was very graphic, and he talked about being loyal to his nation, but also loyal to fellow Marines, because his job was to be a sharpshooter, which is to be face-to-face with another human being and a gun. But he felt compelled to do it out of loyalty. It was a difficult time, but what he showed was that it was nation first and protecting Marines first that took him there. Loyalty comes in all kinds of ways. When he talked about battling in Ramallah, he talked about how difficult it was to decide what to do and when to do it until he remembered his nation, the people of his nation, and the people he protected. And he said, I signed up to protect this country, and I do not choose the wars. I just protect the country. His loyalty extended to saving many, many lives in the name of the nation. Now, if we're going to talk about loyalty, I don't think we can get away without talking about the Boy Scout of all superheroes, and that is Captain America. Now, Captain America was initially came to life in 1940. This was actually before World War II, but World War II had already begun in Europe. Our entrance was in 1941. So there was already in the nation this feeling against Germany and against the Nazi power. So even in this first issue, Captain America is against the Nazis. And this is what happened. This is his backstory. His name is Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers came from New York, and he was very disturbed by what was happening in Europe, so he decided he would join the army. So he went and tried to join the army, and he tried several times, but they wouldn't take him. They wouldn't take him because he was too small. He was kind of scrappy, but he just didn't have enough to get into the army, so they kept rejecting him. Until finally, someone noticed his loyalty, his determination, his patriotism, and they decided to do something with him. Because at the time, scientists were developing a serum that would turn soldiers into super soldiers. All right. So they decided they would test this on Steve Rogers. So he took the serum, and he became like faster and stronger and bigger and more agile and everything. He became a super soldier. Now, you may be asking, as I did, why aren't there more super soldiers? Why didn't they just do that, right? Okay. Well, unfortunately, one of the bad experiments before the super soldier became the Red Skull. Does anyone know this stuff? All right, a few people, okay. So it became the Red Skull, and the Red Skull killed the scientist who had developed the serum, who made serum recipes a lot like you make recipes at home. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there. So it wasn't written down. So there's only one super soldier, there's only one Steve Rogers, there's only one Captain America. Well, the United States was thrilled, and at first, they were a little bit embarrassed about the whole experiment, so they put him out selling war bonds. Well, he got bored. And then he went in and started doing some secret work. And since then, well, actually, in the comic books, Captain America lasted into the 50s. The war ended. He kind of faded away. He wasn't revived by Marvel until 1963, and then he became part of the Avengers. And then we know in these last years there have been a lot of movies starring Captain America. But this is the most amazing thing. Although he was changed physically, in his interior, he never changed. He was fiercely loyal. He was fiercely loyal to the nation, and then in later movies, to the world. And he was also fiercely loyal to those with whom he fought. It was in the beginning, it was Bucky Barnes as his companion. And later on, it would be all of the Avenger team. He would have loyalty. The thing is, he was a good pick because of his loyalty. And I'll show you a little clip of maybe why they picked him.
That's why you were chosen. Because a strong man who has known power all his life may lose respect for that power. But a weak man knows the value of strength and knows compassion.
Thanks, I think.
Whatever happens tomorrow, you must promise me one thing. That you will stay who you are. Not a perfect soldier, but a good man.
To the little guys.
No, no, wait, what I am doing. No, you have a procedure tomorrow. No fluids.
All right, we'll drink it after.
No, I don't have a procedure tomorrow. Drink it after, I drink it now.
So there's a time a little bit later in the movies now where Captain America is, well, they've just busted up too much and there's some government controls trying to control the superheroes. So they make this law that's called the Superheroes Registration Act so they know where the superheroes are. And Captain America fights against it. And what he says is, I'm loyal to nothing, General, except for the dream. He's loyal to the American dream. I appreciate in the parts of Captain America that I've seen is that when he's in the midst of a scrap and people ask him if he's ready to give up, what does he say? I can do this all day. And so I've actually taken that as my motto. I can do this all day. He's a strong man, but a good man and a loyal man. And so the question might be, how in the world do we translate that into our lives, that kind of loyalty? And it would take us to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that those who follow him must take up their cross. Now, sometimes people think of taking up your cross as, I don't know, a burden. You know, like this sore back of mine is a cross I have to bear. You know, that brother-in-law, he's a cross I have to bear. But that's not it at all. What the cross is that we bear is that work of Jesus Christ that we pick up. That faithfulness to Christ, that belief that will take us into amazing actions and habits. It is bringing us closer to the reign of God. So what we do when we pick up the cross is we demonstrate our loyalty. It is not always easy. It might mean crossing the Jordan. It might mean going into uncharted territory. It might be the most difficult thing we do. I think probably Chris Kyle thought that the most difficult thing that he would do would be to fight, to be a sharpshooter in Iraq. But after the war, he made it his purpose to help soldiers who were suffering from PTSD. And in the midst of that, he went in February 2013 with a friend called Chad Littlefield, and they went to help a 25-year-old Marine who was struggling, and both of them were shot and killed by that Marine. Kyle worked hard to be faithful and loyal to his nation. And even after he was done with his service, he continued to be faithful and loyal to the soldiers that had served with him. When I think about Captain America and all of his adventures, one of his primary characteristics is loyalty to a dream. the American dream, the ideal of justice for all, the ideal of freedom. What is it to be loyal to those who are Christians and to the world in the name of Christ? Jesus said to his disciples in John 15:13, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Loyalty means that we are willing to spend the time and the resources and the effort to bring God's reign. Some of us will do it in great swaths of accomplishment, and some of us will do it one person at a time. Some of us might get our names in the paper for the great things that we do for humanity, and for some of us, it might be just crawling into a crawl space under a trailer, I'm talking to the ASP here, and pulling insulation out and replacing it. And it will be a sign of loyalty to Christ and to Christ's creation. Each of us have it in us to be loyal, not simply by saying, I believe, but by our actions. And so this week I offer a challenge of loyalty. I invite you to choose an action that would be of allegiance to God. Now it might be something grand that you might do, or it might be something small, but this would be the measure. It would bear fruit in love or in compassion. It would bear fruit in generosity or hospitality. And when you do this thing, whether it is in hospitality or an act of generosity or an act of compassion, an act of listening or an act of help, you would say, I do this because of loyalty to the one who has saved me through Jesus Christ. I do this as loyalty to the one who has lifted me up and made me whole. I do this because I call myself a Christian. I invite you to remember that Jesus saved the world, saved the entire world by his death and resurrection, and we have the opportunity to be a part of that saving by our faithfulness, and we can do that one act of allegiance, one act of loyalty at a time. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, you know the times when we have claimed you as Lord, but perhaps not been as loyal in our actions. And so now this week, Lord, put things in front of us that will call us to loyalty and allegiance in your name. Even if they're difficult, put them in front of us so that we might say yes in your name and bring glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.